just to come out and be with God's people and hear them sing songs and sing songs to the Lord. And just a neck hug and a handshake and a welcome and a smile. Doesn't it help you get through the rest of the week together by coming out on Wednesday night? I just wish we'd get more people involved in coming on Wednesday night. It'd be a great blessing if we could, I tell you. Tonight, we'll be in a... Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Maybe just a word of encouragement. Sometime we can just be good listeners. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what we try and do on every Tuesday night, is trying to go to someone and see someone that, you know, we done that last night, to try to find someone we might be a little help to. Amen. Right. Lord knows who it is and knows the situation, but if we can just remember that. Okay. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, term of discipleship. In our country, we're going through a great change in our Christian community. We're going through a great change in our country. And it's changing so fast, it's really hard for me, and I know a lot of people really understand. In our Christian arena, in our churches, many pastors I've talked to and just cannot put the finger on it. So many people have fallen away, and you can't get people committed. You can't get people obligated to fulfill their positions at churches any longer. And seem like church is not first anymore, or either Lord Jesus Christ not first anymore in their life. And it's hard to get people to come to church as on a regular basis as they need to. I know I was talking to Brother Ben Glosson in Revival, and had Mr. Williams from Luther Rice Seminary School in Jacksonville, and he's 83 or 84 years old leading that revival, but didn't have too good a turnout. And Mr. Williams was saying, well, you ought to just see where I have come from with my 40, nearly 50 years of pastoring, and how I used to, if you could preach. And you know, the churches would fill up and people would come all over from the communities. And when the revival come, I'm going to tell you, people lay down their plows, and they lay down their hammers, and they lay down their hoes. And I tell you, there was a great excitement around the house of the Lord, no matter where it was at, where it was in Jacksonville, where it was in a city, where it was in a country. Things have changed. But he says in his last days, he began to see such a great falling away. Something is happening, and it's beyond anybody's comprehend of what is really happening. But I know that have grown up in the area where we were living in what we call the Bible Belt, really the very buckle of Christianity in South Georgia. But I'm afraid, you know, that even though we was raised there and raised in Judeo-Christian ethics, and that is that we was, even people that didn't know the Lord, was raised really with the Bible commandments, even if they wasn't saved and didn't claim to go to church. And even in our community, this area, people, even in the southern states and in the part of the United States, we was raised in knowing about the laws of the Lord and the commandments, and people honored the Word of God, whether they were saved or not. People still honored the Word of God. They honored the Sabbath, or Sunday. They honored the Word of God. And we're just raised in this Judeo-Christian ethics, and we come up under this whenever we could had the Ten Commandments in school, and whenever we could pray in school, and hear your teacher many times, the teacher would read us Bible stories about, Samson, and read us Bible story about David, just read us Bible story whenever in the younger grades that I can remember. And we grew up in this area, but it's vastly changing, you see, because there's a generation of people now, as it was in the day of Israelites, that knew not Joseph. As old Pharaoh come along, and there's some pharaohs of this country in our world today, and they knew not Joseph. They do not know the God of that we have known whenever we was coming up in our life and what our country was raised on for many, many years. And people's moving into our parts of the world. We call it the Bible Belt. They're moving in from other parts of the country. They're moving in from other countries, and preachers and churches and scratching their heads and say, what's wrong? What's wrong with people today? Have we failed? Have the gospel failed? Have the church failed? Has the Bible failed? And the answer, of course, is no, it's not failed. The Bible cannot fail. The gospel cannot fail. But maybe some people have said, yeah, you know, I have tried the church, and a lot of people have fell away, and you try to get them to come back to church, and they might say, well, we've tried the church, and I got my ways, and I just don't feel like going back to church. I've tried the church, and maybe, you know what, they need to try Jesus. I think they need to try Jesus. And maybe in a way that I feel like maybe we have failed personally as a church, because maybe we have not presented the Jesus Christ of our life and the Jesus Christ that we know of. Maybe we have not presented him as we should in our churches today, and maybe in this church, whenever people do come, do they really see the Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah today? Do they really see him? Even as we come to church and in our Sunday school hour and our Wednesday night, when their people come, do they meet the real Jesus? I'm afraid so many times they just come to church and they don't meet the real Jesus. They need to meet the real person of Jesus Christ. But maybe, you know, some people, they're just church members and they're not disciples. They're just church members. A disciple is someone who has a desire to know him. And they have a desire. If you're going to be a disciple, if it's disciples that we're talking about, someone have a desire to know him and to make him known. And there's something wrong if people don't. Disciples, when you know it, is submitted to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who hungers, you know, for the truth about Jesus Christ. A disciple is one that follows through with obedience. And we're going to be studying here about this for just a few moments tonight in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. And it's talking about the disciple. There's some terms of discipleship. And I'm afraid a lot of people misses this. And I'm afraid that's where we were at this day and time in our area, in our Christian walk, in our area, and a lot of our churches today. They've missed the part of being a disciple, and they have so many church members. And we hear sometimes they have a great, what they call maybe revival. They may have this, they may have that, and they have make several decisions have been made. Say, well, we had 50 decisions made. Well, I think we need to quit making the decision and start making discipleship and disciples. And I think that's what it's all about. And Jesus tells us now in these verses of scriptures what it cost. There's some terms that people don't really understand. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means to be a disciple. There's some terms that you have to know and I have to know to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's laid out in the Bible. And it's not what that preacher said. People get mad whenever I say, you know, if you save, you'll be in church. They get mad at me. Well, that's not me talking. That's the Word of God. I'm just someone that's carrying the message. You ought to have your family in the house of God. And is the Bible wrong for saying that? Am I wrong for saying if you're a saved person, mothers and fathers, you ought to have your family in the house of God? Is that wrong? People get mad because I tell them about that. I can't help it. It's the truth. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it says in the verse of Scripture there, in verse 57, Jesus Christ lays out real plain the terms of discipleship. He says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, talking about Jesus Christ, Lord, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, now, and he lays out these terms, fox have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. And you say, you're going to follow me. And another one come and said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Then another one come and said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity on this side of eternity. Father, we know following you is going to cost us. And Father, if we're not willing to pay the cost, we're not willing to follow. Although I'm afraid, Lord, there's so many people, Lord, that wants the easy way out. But Father, you did not promise us a rose garden in this life. But Father, that you promised that you'd always be with us. So we want to ask you, Father, to help us to understand, Father, to look at the Word of God and give us the assurance, Lord, the power, Lord, that we need it. Father, even through the tough times that we may have to go in the tribulation times, not the great tribulation, but tough and terrible times, that, Father, we know, God, that you are the answer and you will be the answer. And, Father, so many people has even grown cold and they've tried a lot of things. But, Father, we pray, God, that we might be the people, Father, that they might try Jesus and see Jesus, Father, even as they come here to this church and, Father, the lives that we live before them. So we thank you, Lord, for your name this hour. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here. And for this opportunity that we can lay down, Father, our daily activities and come together in the name of Jesus Christ this night. And, Father, we can look up to you from which cometh our strength and the names, Lord, that we can call out, the names in this prayer box, and Lord, on the hearts and the problems we have and the difficulties with our family and, Father, maybe our job and our health, each one of us, Lord, that we have. But, Father, we know that you said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And, Father, we want to thank you for that promise. We want to thank you, Lord, for that opportunity that we have and responsibility to have that we might be the praying people. So we pray, God, according to thy will, God, that we just pray for all the people to come know you as Lord and Savior. And, Lord, this people will be discipled into this church, into the kingdom of heaven. So we thank you this night for this opportunity. Father, for we know, God, that you love us, and we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. For all these blessings, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Being a disciple. Being a disciple would be like a soldier following his general. Where is everybody that claims to know Jesus Christ? You know, it ought to be like a servant following his master. It ought to be like a scholar following the teacher. Or sheep following the shepherd to be a disciple. It's like a Christian following the Lord. That's being a disciple. We need to quit making decisions and start making disciples. We have a lot of programs going on and say we need to disciple people, need to disciple people. First, people have to be saved before they can be discipled. We have to show them Jesus Christ. See, we don't need, we like to have as many church members as we can, but it's not the church members that we need here at Pleasant Hill. It's discipleship. It's disciples. We need to make disciples out of some of our church members, I do believe. They need to be disciples. That's one that needs to know Jesus Christ. We have needs. Yes, we have a lot of needs. And I think the church's greatest need is to work for the Lord for his kingdom's work today. But the ones that's doing the work for the kingdom at Pleasant Hill is one that carries the burden of prayer. Did y'all know that? In this place that's called Pleasant Hill, this church that God has set aside here by the side of this road many years ago and established in the name of Jesus Christ, there's a few people, I'm going to tell you, that's carrying on the work of the church, and those people are the one that has a burden for prayer on their heart. Even those, maybe some of them cannot even come regular. Maybe some of our senior adults is not even able to come, but they're praying for us. You think about that person that's not even able to come, is sick, but they say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your church. I mean, that is a great blessing, and that's the ones that really is carrying the burdens of a church. And not only that, the ones that's carrying the missions and also the ministry of this church. You know, we have a lot of ministry of this church, and the ones that has the burdens for this ministry of this church in many different areas is really the ones that are carrying the load. the evangelism of this church, there are people that's really concerned about winning people to Jesus Christ. And also the ones that goes out for visitation, the ones that goes all through the week and one to meet someone at the grocery store, meet someone at the gas station, meet someone on the job and tells them about Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus Christ said. He says, as you're going. That means as you're going along, tell people about Jesus Christ. But be it the terms of the disciple, really there's no rival to Jesus Christ. He's got to be number one. To be a disciple, I'm going to tell you, he's got to be number one. It says in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Now, will that be a hard saying to a lot of people? You mean to tell me if I come to Jesus Christ, it says, and you don't hate your father, it says, and your mother and your wife and your kids and your family? Well, really, it's not talking about hating your loved ones. It's not talking about hating your family, but he's talking about in comparison here. I love my wife. Do you love your kids? Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Do you love your grandkids tonight? And I know you do. Well, you know that little grandchild that you love so dear? Well, that love that you could muster up for that little grandchild, that love in comparison, the way that you need to love Jesus Christ, will be like hate. It is a comparison that he's talking about in this verse of scriptures. The love that you love your wife, the love that you love your husband, your brother, your sister, whatever. But in comparison, that love, our human love, as we love our loved ones, in comparison, how it should be of loving Jesus Christ, it would be like hate. It would be like hate. So that's what he's saying here. It would just be like hate, the comparison here. And you know, he had to be number one. He would have to be number one. You remember Abraham offered up old Isaac, his child. Now, he was his pride of his life, old Isaac. And you know, it really, you would believe in the Bible says he was really probably about a teenager boy when he offered him up. And he was the pride of his life. God says through him, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Abram, your name is going to be changed to Abraham. It's going to be changed to multitudes. But yet it says, don't you take your child up, Isaac, your only child, and sacrifice him on the altar of Mount Moriah. You know, and Abraham, they no way. I don't believe humanly possible that there no man could understand what God had told Abraham to do. There's no way. I don't really believe he can. In Matthew 10 and verse 37 says, and he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Abraham, did you hear that? Yes, I've heard that. But yet it says in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into a place of which God had told him. Well, you see, Abraham got up that morning and he said, son, we got to go somewhere. And they rose up early with their helpers and you see, they took off to that mountain. They had the wood, they had the fire, they had the knife, and they started up that mountain. And as they got up that mountain, he fixed the altar there. Isaac was laid upon the altar. And you see, he had the fire and the wood. And then he lifted up his hand with that knife in his hand to take that son, his only son. You know, and the Lord stayed his hand. He said, Abraham, don't. Then he found, you know, a ram caught in the thicket. He said, I'll provide myself a lamb or a ram. And he did. You see, he was willing, not understanding, but he knew no matter what it was that he wanted to put God first in his life. You better be very careful if you let anyone or anything come between you and the Lord. You see, I know that you love your husband if you have them with you tonight and they're still living. I know that you love your wife if she's with you tonight. I know that you love your children. Y'all still have your children, the ones that you have, and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. I know that you love them. But you see, there's one person that you should love more than any of them, and that's Jesus Christ. Some of you I know has been married a long time. I don't know, Brother Elmer, how long y'all been married, but I know it's a long time. Some of you have been married longer than I have. Me and my wife have married a long time. I know my wife for a long time. I know that you have known your wife, your husband, but there's someone else that's going to go with me when my wife can't. Someone else is going to go with her when I can't. Might be off in a room of a hospital somewhere. When your family has stayed up with you many nights and weeks, and they roll you off, and they can't hold their eyes up any longer, they can't stay with you any longer, you're in that room. But you see, you're not in that room by yourself. The one that you love the most, Jesus Christ, is going to be with you. And not only when you close your eyes in death, but even out into eternity. And oh, Abraham didn't understand it. And you and I don't understand it. And oh, Abraham said, Lord, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Abraham, as he got up early that morning, he's singing, have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. You know, he was going up that mountain to demonstrate there was no rival to the Lord in his life. Remember, it says, if you love father, mother, sister, brother, whatever, you're not worthy of me. Abraham was demonstrating that no rival between him and Jesus Christ in his life. What would happen if this group that I'm talking to tonight, not the whole church, not everybody, we got 300 some members. I don't have any members. We got 300 something members, isn't that right? I think. I don't have any we got. But what would happen if this group here tonight, if we none of us would have any rivals to Jesus Christ in our heart and our life? What a different change would make. I'm going to tell you what would happen just if this group had it, just if this many people have it. I'm going to tell you, you'd have to come early to get a seat at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you, you'd have to come early to get a seat if Jesus Christ was first place in our heart. And if Jesus Christ was first place in the heart, we wouldn't have to worry about church attendance. Wouldn't we have to worry about faithful people for the service? Wouldn't have to worry about our Sunday school numbers, or wouldn't have to worry about Wednesday night. Wouldn't have to worry about because people be in a hurry to come and have corporate worship service in this place. And then you wouldn't have to worry when you talk to people about coming to church and making 100 excuses and they're mad at the preacher because the preacher said you weren't being in the house of God if you're a saved person. There was a pastor of a little small church, and someone asked him, are you scared of your congregation? He says, no, me and the choir, we outnumber them. It wouldn't be like that if we have no rival for Jesus Christ in our heart. A questionnaire was sent out to a congregation and asked the members, how far do you live from church and how long did it take you to get there? One man said, I live 4 blocks, it takes me 10 months. But isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth so many times? But it wouldn't be that way if we had no rivals in our heart for Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be that way. The love of God. The love of God. His love, you know how to find this out. You know if you love the Lord is the way you should love the Lord. Let's start with if you love his music above all other music they are. But you see, you'd love his book more than any other book in the world. And I'm going to tell you, you'd love his table more than any other table of the world. And you'd love his house more than any other house of the Lord. And you'd love his people more than any other people of the world. People said, I've tried the church. I got my reasons for not coming back. He said, well, there's no power and there's no truth in the church. And I think people's tried church and they tried religion, but they need to try Jesus Christ. I think that's exactly what's wrong with people today. They need to try Jesus Christ. Like saying, you know what, I tried to play the guitar one time. I bought me a guitar, and I worked on that guitar. I think my daddy bought me my first guitar, and everybody's playing guitars, and I want to play a guitar. And I tried to play a guitar, and I worked, my fingers was blistered trying to play a guitar. But I never could make anything come out of that guitar. It sounded very good to me. So I just gave up because I said there's just no music in that guitar. But you see, somebody like old Robert can take that guitar and make beautiful music out of it. Someone say, you know, I've tried the church and there's just nothing in it for me. I've tried the church. That's just like me trying to play guitar. If I kept on practicing, I kept on working, I believe I'd get something out of it. You see, I quit. And there's so many people, they just quit. But it don't mean they're not something in the church. I believe there's something all churches that names the name of Jesus Christ. If they come with the right attitude and they keep practicing like they ought to, or they practice to play a guitar or a piano or whatever, I believe they would get something out of it. The problem was not with the guitar. The problem was with me. And I'm going to tell you, people, they're mad and aggravated and don't want to come. They're making excuses. I don't think the problem is with the church. I don't think the problem is with the people. I think most of the problem was with them. I think most of the problem was with them. They hadn't met the real Jesus Christ and the qualification of the discipleship. There's no rival to Jesus Christ, but there's no refusal to Jesus Christ either. There's no refusal. Because in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now there's some cross bearing. Jesus Christ said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. As we use this for our application in Galatians 2 and 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The problem in the church today is people have nothing to think about of that crucifixion life. They've never met this principle of a crucified life. It's not Christ but me. That's what we're saying. We're willing, are we really willing for the will of God to be done in every area of our life? You see, that's what a lot of it's all about. You know, are we really willing? Every area of life, you see, there's no refusal to Jesus Christ, no rival to Jesus Christ, no refusal to Jesus Christ in every area of our lives, in our life. Well, are there some doors that's private, you know, that we say, keep out? Good of mine to make old Ray come sing that song. The doors. Because, you see, I don't know how many of us out there, and I know my life, I don't know your life, I know God knows all of our lives. But you know, most likely, there's some people sitting here this night, and it might be every one of us, it might be half of us, I don't know, God knows. They may be a rival in our life, and they may be some doors, maybe something in our life that, in that room that Ray sings about, he don't even want to go. Don't go in that room, Lord. I'll give you all these other doors of my life, but you, don't mess with that door. Don't go in there. I'm doing pretty good. I'll give you all these other areas, but don't mess with this. You'd be glad for God to look in all these doors of your life and give him all these doors of your life, but there's one door right there, Lord. Leave it alone. Now that's my little pet door. And inside that door, that's mine. Now you see, it might be something like our time. People don't have time to worship the Lord. They got too many other things to do. And if anybody is too busy to serve Jesus Christ, they're too busy. I don't care who they are. They're too busy. And it might be that door of time, but it might be that door of ability that people just won't come and do. And they might not sing, or they may not teach, or they might not, the ability that God has given them. It might be that door of relationship to someone that they don't want to give up. Maybe materialism that they don't want to give up. You know, it might be a pride, or it might be sports, or it might be pleasure. There's so many doors of our life. I don't know what it could be for you. But you see, there's no refusal to Jesus Christ. And I could ask you now what it's saying. Have you ever really died to self? You know what's wrong with the discipleship this day and time? People's never died to self. There's never died to self. And I mean, the disciple is a discipleship. It's not church membership. It's discipleship. And we've made it too easy in our form of life just to join a church, and there's no dedication to joining. There's no dedication to serving. There will be something behind it. People ought to be more serious, not just in this, but anything they go at. There's no rival to Jesus Christ, no refusal to Jesus Christ, and then no retreat from Jesus Christ. And that's the term of discipleship. Luke, as I done read over in Luke chapter 9, 57, and it came to pass that after they went their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Fox have a hole, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Are you wanting to follow me? You know, the Christian life, so many people think it's just like a picnic. God didn't promise a rose garden in this life that we're living. He didn't promise us that. He didn't promise us that we're supposed to get everything for ourselves and have more than what. We can't sleep in but one bed at a time. We can't live in but one room at a time. We can't drive but one car at a time. We can't wear but one set of clothes at a time. It's not all about self anymore. Jesus said, I'm going to promise you that someday that, you know what, most of us are going to know tribulation. Jesus said, there comes a time when men will kill you and think they've done God a favor. Matthew 5 and 11 also says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. There's coming a time for that, because the persecution is going to come. Another young man said there in that same verse I've been reading, 59 and 60, it said, he said to them, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Here it is again. If this man's father had died, he would already be at the funeral, probably waiting for his father to die before he can get his inheritance. You know, to get his inheritance, he might need some security. If I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I need some security. I don't trust you, Jesus Christ. I might need some security. And then there comes another man, Luke 61 and 62. Another man said also, Lord, I'll follow thee. Let me first go and bid farewell all them at home. And Jesus said, you know, any man who put his hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Y'all remember Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. You see, she looked back. She missed the things of Solomon, the Sodomites. She compromised. Oh, Abraham, you know the story of old Lot. You know, Lot, he cast his eyes whenever him and Abraham got in a little discussion. He cast his eyes towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and directly he moved a little bit closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. Directly he moved into Sodom and Gomorrah, and directly he was raising his kids in Sodom and Gomorrah. And directly after a while, you know, he is at the gate. He is a lawyer, and he is also probably he was a judge there at the gate of the customs. And then, you know, they come a war. The kings of the valley, they come and they beat the socks off of them, and they cut them and carried away the Sodomites and old Lot with them. And they come by old Abraham's camp. Y'all read the story in Genesis? And old Abraham said, they got my nephew. I'm going after them. And old Abraham took all of his servants. He had a great, mighty army. He went and he beat the socks off all those kings of the east. And they turned him loose. And Lot got his life back, got his family back. And guess what happened to him? He moved right back in Sodom and Gomorrah. And a lot of people, God has freed so many times from the chains of what the devil has put around them so many times, and what happened to them just as soon. How many times have I been with people in the hospital and said, boy, preacher, I tell you, if I get out of here, I'll be in church Sunday. I get out of here, I'll be this, and I'll do this, and I'll be this. And a lot of them I've never seen. They go right back into it. You know what happened to Lot? He had at least four girls, the Bible says. The first two of them was married, and you know what? Whenever God told him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he tried to wake up his two married girls, you know, and his son-in-laws, they didn't believe a word he had to say. And he barely got out with the other two daughters, but you know what happened now? Incest. And his wife, she said she couldn't bear to stand to leave what she had, that old world. And you know, God just turned her into a pillar of salt. And there she's in the Bible. Remember what happened to her. Looking back. You see, whenever God pulls us out of the life of sin, and we look back into that old life, and old Lot went back into it. We look back and he said, we're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Looking back, wishing I was back into that. That's what she was doing. You don't believe that God turned her into a pillar of salt? One little old boy in the church preacher said, "I believe that." Mama looked back and turned into a light pole. If God can do it, can he? And that's what happened to her. You see, but I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Now, the terms of discipleship, I'm telling you, is very important. I think that's the problem we're having and we're hurting today. And we'll never see the church penetrate the unbelief of atheism without people being the disciples. And you see, we'll never see the penetrate the hardness of humanism without the terms of discipleship. And we'll never stop the aggression there of secular humanism until we see discipleship. And we'll never drive into Islamic religion until we find out that we are disciples of Jesus Christ and know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there's some other isms that ought to be isms. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take disciples. It's not going to take church members. Oh, it's not the church members that we need. It's disciples that we need. And we need to understand there's a term of discipleship. If you're willing to pay that to make a change in what this church and what our life and what our family, what our community, what our area, what our country would be like. If people understood this one thing tonight, being a disciple, that they would be no rival to Jesus Christ. He's number one. There'd be no refusal. Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. There'd be no retreat. I'm ready to follow Jesus Christ. No turning back. No turning back. Isn't that simple? But we know very little about being crucified for Jesus Christ. We know very little. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day, and I do believe that Christians are going to understand. God says we won't go through the great tribulation. But he said, I can promise you there are going to be some tribulations. And the closer we get, I believe the closer it's going to be to that tribulation coming, that we're going to be able to pay the price for being a Christian. Right now, you know, it's popular saying, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm a church member, might be popular. But there's going to come a time in this country when it's not going to be popular to say that I'm a Christian. That's when the fire's going to come. And I'm going to tell you, it might be through this Islamic religion. We don't know what it is, but there's coming a time. I thank you tonight, and I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching to you. But Lord, if I could just open up all the doors of my life, if I could just open up all the doors, say, Jesus, here's every one of them. Here's every one of them. What a difference it would make in my life and your life. If you stand and ask.